Brothers and sisters, the sermon title is A Miracle Cure. And the theme of the sermon this morning is that to recognize that Jesus' miracle healing of this man shows his compassion, but also the power of being the Messiah. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. The verses that we're going to read is the introduction to the sermon this morning. And it's really an introduction to the next five chapters of the book of Matthew. Matthew closes the same chapters that we're going to read later on in chapter 9, verse 35, with the same words. Meaning that it's a little package that Matthew's put together, all with the miracles of Christ and the Sermon on the Mount packaged together. So let's read from Matthew chapter 4, from the verses 18 to 25. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left the nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. And he went throughout all Galilee, verse 23, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and the healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Brothers and sisters, Matthew, when he wrote the book, typically wrote the book in a topical arrangement rather than a chronological arrangement. This means that Matthew did not record day one what Jesus wrote, did, and the second day what Jesus did on the second day, and so on. But Matthew grouped topics together because the purpose of Matthew's book is to demonstrate and prove to the Jewish people that Jesus is the Messiah. Therefore, Matthew groups content together to prove that point. We will see in chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount, how Matthew teaches or records for us the teaching of Christ about the law of the kingdom of heaven. Then when we turn to chapters 8 and 9, we see Matthew's reflection or the recording of 9 miracles. And all of these are bundled together and grouped together as one specific teaching. When we read Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4, and that's our text this morning, Jesus cleansing the leper, we read that when he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." Brothers and sisters, if you've spent some time in a hospital or an emergency clinic or at hospice or at the mental health hospital, we will very, very quickly realize that there's a lot of suffering and a lot of pain and a lot of terrible diseases out there. There are some diseases or accidents that cause us to lose limbs. There are some diseases out there that cannot be healed or cured, like cancer. There are some diseases out there that is very easily cured, like appendicitis or tonsillitis, for example. In our Western countries, we are in actual fact very, very blessed. because we have very good medical care. For us to go for a tonsillitis removal is half an hour's operation. 2,000 years ago, people eventually died as a result of it. What we consider today as an easy procedure was not available 2,000 years ago. Doctors have been around for quite some time. We know that Hippocratic Oath was coined roughly about 500 years before Christ walked on the earth. And that's when the first doctors realized that our diseases are not coming from spirits or gods, but it's rather caused by a result of natural physical activity. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts, was a doctor himself, and he tried his best to heal people as best as what he could. But again, with very limited knowledge and very limited medication. Although they tried to help people, really, the setting of the Old Testament time of Christ was suffering, no hope to get cured, and eventually death of the smallest possible infection. That's the context of it. In Matthew 4:23, we read about Christ and his preaching in this teaching and the healing in Galilee, for example. From there, his fame spread to all Syria in the north, the Decapolis, which is Jordan today, in the east, and Jerusalem, and to Judea in the south. Now, just for interest, Lebanon was part of Israel's promised land, and we read that in Joshua 13:5-7. And Naphtali and Asher established in Lebanon. So that whole Middle East, Christ was famous and well known for at that point in time. What does that teach us? All the people, we read in verse 25 and 24, came from all these regions to be healed. Everybody required healing, not only the Jewish people. J.C. Ryle comments on the greatest sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, which was preached, followed by the nine miracles as proof that Christ was the Son of God. The verses describing the first nine miracles of Christ, we're going to unpack over the next couple of weeks. The miracle today that we want to discuss is the healing of the leprous man. The miracle shows compassion and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the request of the man, his disease. The man with leprosy came, verse 23. Leprosy is a terrible disease that begins with pain, it's followed by numbness. This affected skin dies off, swells up, the blood circulation becomes poor, and the limb starts falling off. The fingers and the toes is the first to go, and normally the person is characterized by very, very unpleasant odor. And his voice becomes hoarse and raspy. The book of Leviticus that we've read contains all the regulations what Israel had to do when a person presented with leprosy. They had to wear torn clothes, the hair had to hang loose, they had to cover their upper lip, and they had to walk around saying, unclean, unclean, so that people could realize that they were lepers. By the time of Jesus, the scribes and the rulers of Israel added another 61 regulations, additional laws to that which God gave Moses pertaining to the lepers. You were not allowed to get into contact with a dead person. You were not allowed to get in contact with a leprous person. You were unclean. And you had to go through extensive cleaning ceremonies whenever you did. The people of the Old Testament regarded leprosy as a very contagious disease. And therefore, nobody was allowed to come within 2 meters from a person with leprosy. Or if the wind was blowing, within 50 meters of the person. All this, of course, means that the leper was virtually banished from normal society. No disease excluded a person from others like this one. A leper was regarded as a dead man walking. He had no future, no life, no hope, no family, no work. an outcast of society. So here's the man approaching Christ with all of these things characterizing. Let's have a look at his faith quickly. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him. Now this is unusual because lepers were supposed to keep away from people. Whenever a leper wanted to be cleansed or presented to the priest, the priest had to go out and meet the leper. But in this instance, the leper came and presented himself to Christ. And the reason for it is he could feel that Christ would not reject him. He knew from what was happening that Jesus was healing all people from all walks of life, from all over the region. He felt he could approach Jesus. Here was a man who cared for other people, who was compassionate and who welcomed people and accepted them as they were, wherever they are. Are we like that? Are we Christians? As Christians, we are supposed to follow the example of Christ. Do people know that we are people that care, who are approachable and compassionate? Do we make people feel welcome and loved? Do we accept others as they are, for who they are? Or do we reject them because they're different? The Lord gives us a model to follow, a pattern of things to remember. But we also see that the leper approached the Lord Jesus with reverence. He came and knelt before him and said, Lord. In this instance, the Greek word translated as knelt, in actual fact, means worship. Luke tells us that the man came and fell on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ. He addressed Jesus as Lord. And in all the instances where Matthew uses the term, where people address the Lord, it's used exclusively for believers. But the man also approached Jesus with faith. Lord, if you are willing, he said. The qualification if did not mean that he doubted the power of Christ at all. No, but rather the willingness of Christ. He believed that Jesus was able to make him well, but he did not know if Jesus was willing to do so. He recognized that Jesus had to decide to do this and would do so, and not because he demanded this of him. There's an application for us here. Too often we go to God with our requests, expecting that he will do this or that just simply because we ask him. But everything we receive is dependent on the will of God. If you are willing, Lord, we must always say, your will be done, Dio Valenti. The leper approached Jesus with faith, believing that Jesus could heal him from his leprosy. His faith in Jesus was simple, but strong. Elementary, but solid. Do we have the faith? Do we believe in Jesus this way? Faith in Christ is very precious. And like most things that are precious, it is rare. Yet, this is how we ought to respond to Christ. We need to believe in him and then live by faith, trusting him day by day. Do we pray, Lord, let your will be done in our lives? Or do as some teach, proclaim it and claim it? Do we demand that God listens to us? Do we get angry if God doesn't do what we ask him for? Wrong attitude. And the leper knew better. The leper knew that God would give him what God wants to give him. The leper knew the sovereignty of God, and he could rest in it. In whatever way Christ was to respond, he could rest in that, knowing that all things work together for the good of those that love God. Let's have a look at the response of Jesus. First of all, Christ shows compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Dr. Paul Brandt is a leprosy specialist who has written a number of books. And in one of those books, he describes the physical suffering of leprosy, but also the emotional suffering, the loneliness that people suffer from the disease. He described one young man that he that he worked with, when he touched him, the man started crying unreconcilably. When the doctor asked him, "Have I said anything wrong?" the young man said, "No, but you know, you're the first person that has touched me for so many years." The leper that Jesus touched must have felt in the same way when Christ touched him. Everyone kept their distance from him. If he approached the elders or the scribes or Pharisees, they would have stoned him or chased him away like a dog. But not Christ. Not Christ. Jesus could heal him at 2 meters away. Christ could heal him 2 kilometers away. Christ could speak the word and heal him without being there at all. Yet, Christ decided to touch him. Here again is something for us to learn, to imitate in the life of Christ. There are many, many people around us who are lonely and isolated, who feel rejected and scorned, people that need to feel your hand on their shoulder, to have your listening ear, to hear your kind words, to receive your sympathy and help. Let's imitate the compassion of Christ. But we also see the power of Christ as the Messiah in this. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the man was cured of his leprosy. There are some cases of miraculous healing today, especially in missionary situations. I know, as we've told you guys many times before, my brother was miraculously cured from being deaf and mute. But there are also claims, people that claim to be miracle healers. But the miracles of faith healers are often debatable, not clear-cut or decisive, but rather dubious, partial and temporary. In most instances, people need to get medication, rehabilitation or physiotherapy. But not so with the miracles of Christ. It is immediate, it's total, and it's permanent. The miracle of Christ was a sign. It pointed to him as the Messiah, as the one God had promised in the Old Testament to heal and to restore. The Jews expected the Messiah to come to be able to do great mercies and great miracles. And Jesus did all of these to prove that he was the one that God had promised. But the people had to understand who Jesus truly was. This is why Jesus gave 2 instructions to the leper. The first one is, see that you don't tell anyone about it. Have you ever thought why the Lord said that to him? Didn't Christ want everyone to know him and know about him? Of course Christ did, but not just yet. And he didn't want everyone to see him just as a miracle worker. They had to understand the spiritual character of his kingdom. The Jews had their own ideas of the Messiah and what the Messiah would achieve for them. Because at that point in time, the Jewish people were ruled by the Roman Empire. They were looking for the Messiah to come and restore them and to get them away from the rule of the Roman Empire. They wanted a political and a military leader to lead the nation. Jesus knew their hearts. Jesus knew that if people only heard about his miracles, they would misunderstand what he has come to do. He would be expected to lead a rebellion, and that was not his purpose. But he had not come to deliver people, of course, from oppressive governments. No, but from the oppression of Satan and the kingdom of darkness. He had come to deal with the root of sin, not merely its symptoms. So Christ needed the time to teach people about his kingdom, Sermon on the Mount, to explain who he was, to tell them what the Messiah would do. So in the meantime, he did not want too much publicity of the miracle that he performed. But he did not tell this healed man to show himself to the priest. He did tell the healed man to show him to the priest and to follow the requirements of the law. He wanted the priest to have this testimony of who he was. They needed to know that he was the Messiah, not just a miracle worker. The law of Moses and his miracles all point towards the Messiah, to who Christ was. He wanted the priest to come to believe in him, to see the miracles, to come to faith, just as this man did, and as we have to today. This was, after all, the purpose of the miracles, to point people to faith in Christ as the Messiah. Later on, Jesus said, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent," John 6:29. The leper believed in the one God has sent. He had a very simple faith in Jesus, but he believed, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He was willing to submit his entire future to the sovereignty of Christ. We learn through his request he was even willing to die a leper. "Lord, not my will, but yours be done." There will be many people in heaven who have had faith like this. People who put their confidence and trust in Jesus, who believe that he was and is the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah. We need to believe in Jesus like this. We need to trust him and the one who came to die in our place, to take our punishment and our sins. On the other hand, there will be many who will not enter because they did not believe in Jesus. They may have known a lot about the Bible and attended church and even studied theology, but despite all this, they did not trust in Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Karl Barth was a Swiss theologian in the 20th century. He strongly opposed theological liberalism, but had some peculiar views of his own. He wrote 14 chapters or volumes of church dogmatics. Someone asked him, "What is the central message of all your work?" And he replied, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The leper knew that Jesus loved him. And this miracle is recorded in the Bible so that you might know who Jesus is, and know his love, and believe in him. Then we can sing the confident words of that children's hymn, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so." Amen. Let's come to the Lord's time of prayer. Almighty God, and Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the cleansing of the leper. For there are so many things for us to learn and appreciate as a result of it. Gracious Lord, for there was so little healing possible for people with leprosy, Lord, and there was no hope. Yet, Lord, when you healed the leper of something that was no hope in, you demonstrated not only to the leper, Lord, not only to the scribes and the Pharisees, but also to us, Lord, that you are far greater than any disease. Heavenly Father, that you are the Messiah, the one that came to restore those without hope, those without a future. Lord, and in the same way as you restore that man from his physical death, you restore all of us from our spiritual death. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, and we ask that, Lord, as we walk on this earth, that we always remember the example that Christ has set for us. Lord, that we'll go out and walk with other people in a loving, kind, gentle way. Lord, that we'll help those that suffer. Heavenly Father, to provide, to encourage, and where possible, Lord, also to show the love of Christ to them in physical ways. Heavenly Father, we know that we fall so far short. Lord, a lot of us may have some preconceived ideas about race or religion, or a theology. Heavenly Father, may that never stand in our way, we pray. Lord, help us all to look beyond those things and to look at the service of the worship of you and the service of you and your people. Heavenly Father, that we will use the example of the leper to have faith in Christ. Yes, Lord, and to abide by his will, by forever and ever. Yes, Lord, knowing that whatever happens to us is for our good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful message this morning. One of hope, yes, Lord, one of confidence, one of trust, that Jesus indeed is the Messiah, the Chosen One, that Jesus indeed is our Lord and our Savior. Heavenly Father, as we go in the week, help us and encourage us daily, as we encourage one another to walk the path that is pleasing to you. Hear our prayer this morning, Lord, as we thank you for this, in Jesus' name.